This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Well, the Patriots had their parade yesterday, another championship there. It was interesting because the reports out of Boston, you know, when they were discussing the Patriots' future, we're talking about how the roster is going to look so much different. They've got guys that are going to leave the team. There's guys going to retire. There's guys that they're not going to keep. There's going to have to bring in a new wide receiver. And I thought to myself, that seems to be the Patriots all the time. I don't understand what's the big deal, right? There's some players that they're just going to have to replace. But nevertheless, another championship. But the NFL keeps rolling along with news. Nick Foles announcing to the Eagles that he is going to opt out of the $20 million option. Thus, the Eagles are going to franchise tag him. And then because they're franchising tag him, they're going to be able to trade him. And now, if you are Jacksonville, if you are the Denver Broncos, how quickly are you getting on the phone to get Nick Foles? Maybe you can, maybe you can't. Maybe you look at your situation and you don't find it economically feasible to bring in a quarterback that's going to have that kind of tag. But nevertheless, the Eagles can also tell the New York Giants that he's not going to go over there to become the new quarterback after Eli Manning, or the Washington Redskins for that matter, or anybody else. The Eagles now control the destiny of Nick Foles. Which, if I'm Denver, for example, and I just was bringing this up yesterday, if we're now talking about defense resurging in the NFL, right, and defense is coming back, you can now win with defense, as the Patriots showed. If you're the Denver Broncos and you're a decent quarterback away with that defense that they have, with Vic Fangio as the head coach, with Rick Donatell as the defensive coordinator, if you're just a decent quarterback away, a better quarterback than Case Keenum, why not figure out how the math works to go make a phone call to the Philadelphia Eagles to land Nick Foles? But if I'm Jacksonville, this is a play I have to make, right? Because you gave the fans a little taste of what that team could be in the AFC title game a year ago. Last year was high expectations led to a complete disaster. You know Blake Bortles isn't your guy. If I'm Jacksonville, this is the phone call I've got to make. I've got, even if it costs me too much, I'm landing Nick Foles. Oh, by the way, Carson Wentz kind of hinted maybe, possibly, I don't know, that some of those reports about him not being a good teammate were not exactly far off. It is SB Nation AM, Tony D, Ron Culver on SB Nation Radio, rolling along on a Wednesday.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
So, I'm not a political guy. So, last night, the State of the Union was on, and I normally don't watch the State of the Union. I don't know. I kind of think it's weird, like, when the president is... It's almost like he's like royalties, like given the state. It's not supposed to work that way in the American government, but that's just me. But you know what I was thinking about, Ron, was when I was at the Super Bowl, I went to the State of the League address that Roger Goodell gave. And so when the State of the Union's on, you know how the Republicans, it doesn't matter who's president, if the, whatever side the president is on, they cheer for everything.
Everything.
And then the other, everything, right? It doesn't matter what he says, right? He says, he can say anything, and then they stand up and cheer. And then the other side, they don't cheer, right? Like they,
exactly.
They sit down and they keep their hands. So I was at the State of the League address on Wednesday, and I thought, I kept thinking, how cool would it be if reporters took sides? Like if one side of the building, like we're like supportive of Roger Goodell and everything he did. And there was another side of the reporters that didn't like Roger Goodell at all and just hated everything he said.
Right.
So when Roger Goodell said, we are looking at possibilities of more international games. Yay!
And then the other side is just sitting on hands.
Just sitting on hands like, no, keep it in America. I don't want to go to Mexico or China or London. This is silly.
That'd be fantastic.
Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah, because, I mean, last night I found myself watching the State of the Union address. At one point I was like, man, why does he just talk to that side of the room?
Yeah, just look at that side of the room.
Why look at the other side?
Yeah, if you were a comedian on stage and one side was laughing, you might throw a few jabs at the other side, but you'd pay attention to the people that were feeding you, right? They were feeding you.
No, that's what I mean. The only comment I came up with last night was like, man, it must suck to be a Republican tonight because you're getting a workout. Because not only are they clapping, they're always standing up. Like every 5 seconds, it's worse than being at a Catholic church.
Yeah, completely, completely. So that's my suggestion for the media. Like, take sides on Roger Goodell and then treat it like a real State of the Union address. But it's...
Can we draw enough fan support for Roger Goodell, though?
That would be the problem.
That would be an issue.
You open it up to the public. Roger.
That's the upper balcony.
Right, pointing up at the balcony at somebody. Well, and there's Mike Smith, longtime Packers season ticket holder. He's glad that we've renewed our Sunday ticket agreement with DirecTV. Yeah!
One guy in the room not booing. Because, right. I mean, that's one thing universal about the NFL is that no matter when Roger Goodell will come out, he'll boo. You know, he'll get boos.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. He's like Gary Bettman. If he ever comes out to anything, it's people raining boos on him. That's what it's like to be. When you're a commissioner... Do you remember when David Stern, like his final NBA draft, I think it was in Brooklyn, if I'm not mistaken, and he came out, it was his final selection before he was going to turn it over to Adam Silver or whoever who was going to take it over for him. So he was giving out the final pick. And as he was walking on stage, they were clapping him and he was like, no, boo, just boo. Cause that's what he was so used to all the time.
Right.
And he was like, I'm so disappointed that you're not booing. Because when you're a commissioner, that's what you like. It's
you can't be, your job you can't do to be hated. Right.
You can't do anything right. Like what you do when you're a commissioner is people respect you after the fact. Like after you leave, people may go, you know what? He was pretty good. He did this, this, and this. And,
no, we'll go down and say, Paul Tagliabue was the best commissioner in the NFL ever had.
Yeah.
But during that time, we hated him.
Oh, God. Absolutely. I remember when Goodell got in. Remember when Goodell got in like mid-2000s? Like one of the first things he did, he put the hammer down. He was starting to suspend guys. He was changing the rules. He was, all right, we're going to be tougher on this. We're going to be tougher on that. But
And the only narrative that came out was like, he was an intern that worked his way up. It's like, what does an intern know how to run a football league?
Right. But all I kept seeing last night in the State of the Union was Goodell making his State of the League address and how you just somehow turn it into a bigger circus than it was. There was so many people trying to grab it. Like that, when one person asked the Saints question, it was an avalanche of Saints questions. Like it took a while to get to the first one, but once you got the first one, here they come. They were just pouring out. Everyone wanted Mr. Commissioner. Like everybody wanted a piece of the microphone. So.
And maybe that we can do that in like, the actual State of the Union addresses. Open it up for questions from the congressman.
Yeah, right. Right.
How awesome would that be?
I think that seems better than giving a speech, right?
Because
I can remember Bush when he was up there one time. He's like, and we're working on a helium car. Well, there's no such thing as where's the helium car? I mean,
would that fly?
About? Right. And he's like, we'll be energy independent, right? Well, I don't know if we are or not, but it seems like takes a while to. We're going to go to the moon again, right?
If you had a helium car, would it change your voice as you're driving?
Would it change? Yeah. Would all of a sudden the engine be a higher pitch, right? So it'd be like, would the conversation in the car be a little higher, right? I don't know. Where should we go to eat? Just a helium car.
Does it float? Right?
What are you talking about, a helium car? I don't know. Technology is above me. I don't know. So... That's me last night, just taking a political thing and turning it somehow into sports as best I possibly can.
Yeah, where was the betting lines on certain subjects, certain phrases he would say? I mean, they always develop drinking games. Come on,
that's right. Of course, right? He did get the Democrats to stand. It was one moment, and I had to rewind it because I was bored, and then I heard it, and I went, "Oh, that sounded interesting. Let me rewind it." He had said something about jobs for women, and the Democrats stood up, and then he said, no, stay standing, you'll like this one. And then he said, we have more women in Congress, and then they clapped again. And I thought, well, all right, that was pretty cool.
Now he's
not a bad line.
Now he's pandering to the crowd. That's good.
Yeah, exactly.
He's getting the other side to cheer.
Yeah, like Roger Goodell, when Goodell gets on stage and he panders to the crowd.
Exactly.
When they ask him, like, hey, do you think, do you think Jacksonville will ever have a Super Bowl again? He goes, well, we'll look into it. And he's like, in the back of his head, we're never looking into that. Never. They're never going back to that city. What are we talking about? You ever think about playing in a cold weather stadium again? Oh, I don't know. It's something we'll... No, of course not. We're not going to do that.
Green Bay is on our mind. How about we should have had the Super Bowl in Chicago this year?
Why don't we play it in Chicago? How about Alaska? You want us to play it in Alaska? What's wrong with you? It was a break.
No, Alaska, now you're getting a little ridiculous, Tony. Alaska would be a little, you know, come on now.
Would a Super Bowl in Chicago work? Like if you said...
Think about it. If you had a Super Bowl in Chicago this year...
Oh, my God. Forget
it. Dude, I mean, it was negative 50.
Oh, my God. It would be... Remember, like Gladys Knight would be out there in like five coats. She'd be like, I'll say, can you see by the dawn's early? Like, get me out of here! I can't deal with this freezing temperatures.
Definitely take the under on the national anthem with that one.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Be better off bringing that Micro Machine guy out there to do all the pregame stuff.
What a gamble it was years ago when they said New York was going to get a Super Bowl. They had no idea what the weather was going to be.
Yeah, they lucked out.
It ended up not being a bad night. It wasn't like it was bitterly cold.
It was, what, 30s, 40s?
Yeah,
that's not too bad.
But you don't know. Like, you just, you're putting these things years in advance, and you have no idea. You can go, you can grab some farmer's almanac witch doctor and give me the weather forecast in the next 5 years, and you still are like, ugh. I don't know, storm coming? I don't know. I'm not sure. So, yeah, what a gamble that was to put the Super Bowl in New York City. You know what?
Because if it was this year, I mean, it wasn't as bad as Chicago, but they had negative temperatures.
Yeah, they had negative temperatures.
So, yeah, that would have been, it would have been fun to watch, but terrible to go to.
It's been years since I've been in negative temperatures, like real, real deep, deep cold. Even in New Jersey, when I lived there for 2 years, it didn't get minus 10, minus 15. But I remember, man, I remember being, but I don't know what it feels like anymore. When I see minus wind chill of minus 50, there was a sad story about they found some teenager in college and he died outside his dorm room.
Yeah.
Now, and they did the autopsy and they didn't find alcohol. And I thought, because my first reaction was, drunk college kid, that's really sad. But they didn't find alcohol in his system. And I thought, what a scary situation to be walking from. Trying to walk just to get indoors, you're like, maybe it's not that far. I'll just make it. And then you don't make it.
Yeah. Or maybe it's because, you know, he forgot his key.
Yeah.
And so he's sitting there knocking on the door, but nobody's answering.
And he can't get in and it's minus 50 degrees outside. And then you're gone. That's it. You're gone. So, I mean, I don't know, man. That's a tough week. And you're right. If we had, if Goodell had said, New York, it worked out. We're going to have more Super Bowls outdoors. Let's give it to Chicago. Let's see what. And then we got that. I don't know. They wouldn't cancel the Super Bowl, but they certainly would have to figure something out. Like they'd have to, you know, figure something for the city.
No, they'd have to go all Qatar on us. You know, Qatar promised with the World Cup, like, we'll have air-conditioned stadiums.
Yeah.
You know, they would have to say, like, Chicago, we'll have heaters on the field.
By the way, you're a soccer guy. How's that work? Is you keeping up with that at all? Is that happening?
It's actually been, it's happening.
I mean, the artificial clouds that they were going to invent.
Yeah. They promised a whole lot of things that aren't going to happen. I mean, because one of the other things they promised is that they'll build these state-of-the-art stadiums and then tear them down brick for brick and put them in and put the stadium in places that actually need new stadiums and cover the cost of rebuilding that stadium.
Really?
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Wow, that's probably not going to happen. What am I thinking? Why am I so excited? What am I kidding? Oh, my God. All right, 800-777-2907 is the telephone number to join us on the program. Coming up, I do want to get into the Nick Foles situation. Who should be the team that makes the phone call? If you were Nick Foles, where would you like to go? What's the best place if you want to taste that sweet Super Bowl victory again? We'll talk about that coming up next on SB Nation AM.
SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
Hey, when it gets cold out there, your vehicle needs some extra attention. O'Reilly Auto Parts has everything you need to keep your vehicle toasty warm, from choosing the right antifreeze for your engine to replacing your windshield wiper blades. O'Reilly will help get your car or truck in fighting shape this winter. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. So as I mentioned at the top of the hour, the Eagles have been notified by Nick Foles that he is going to turn down the option, the $20 million option, the Eagles will then franchise tag him, or likely franchise tag him, in order to trade him. So which team should be on the horn first for the services of one Nick Foles? And if you're Nick Foles, you don't have a really say in the matter of where you go. But if you had a choice, where would you go to get that sweet, sweet taste of Super Bowl victory once again, if it indeed you could pull that off? Would it be Jacksonville, who was in the AFC Championship game a year ago? Still have a pretty good defense if it gets rolling. But kind of a team that's kind of in disarray. Or would you go to Denver if they could find a way to jettison Case Keenum with that defense? Good young talent with Philip Lindsay, Royce Freeman running the ball. Some good wide receivers. Emmanuel Sanders is pretty decent. You know, Demaryius Thomas is gone, but nevertheless, they like Cortland Sutton. Or do you find another place to go? Do you find, What about if, does John Gruden like Nick Foles? Or because that's my first thought. I don't think he does.
I think he's satisfied with Carr.
Is he satisfied with Carr? Are we sure?
No, I'm not sure about anything.
I'm not sure about anything either. We shall see. I think if you're Jacksonville, this is a phone call you make, right?
Yes.
You got to make this because you got nothing.
Who's the quarterback right now? I forget.
Yeah, nobody. That's who it is. Nobody. So crazy.
Well, unless they make a play for Eli.
Yeah, well, that is on the table too, right? Eli Manning down to Jacksonville for at least a couple of years to see if you can, you know, spark up some magic and then maybe get a younger guy in the draft. Maybe that's the way you want to go if you're Tom Coughlin. Look, bring in Eli. Let Eli do his thing, and then, you know, for a couple of years, and then go to go get a younger quarterback in the draft and see where that goes.
Yep. Or maybe, you know, probably a lot of conventional thinking right now, because I mean, there isn't a really standout quarterback in this coming draft. Is, you know, let's do what we can just to get by this year, because next year we got Tua. The year after that we got the, you know, the prototype quarterback of the future.
Yeah, exactly. Now that is where you're going, man. If you're a team that stinks right now, you might stay down for a little bit with Trevor Lawrence coming in the draft. But it's interesting because is Nick Foles, because remember, like, Nick Foles won a Super Bowl and that's great and helped the Eagles get to the playoffs and make a little bit of a playoff run in a close game against the Saints in the divisional round. But is he still a gamble? Like, if you're Denver, for example, and you get Nick Foles, is that a major upgrade from Case Keenum, or is he a product of good Doug Peterson system that allowed him to shine? Because there were some things that Nick Foles did this year that he didn't have last year. There were some situations, but still was successful. You know, Jay Ajayi was injured and whatnot. The offensive line didn't play as well as he did that Super Bowl run. So, but if I'm Denver, look, Case Keenum wasn't the answer, despite what John Elway said. So I might make a run at Nick Foles. The only problem with that is that you're locking too much money up in a quarterback. Because you're gonna get the Foles tag, and then you still have to pay Keenum. You can't just jettison Keenum without some sort of cost to the cap.
Yeah, so I think that with the Broncos right now, though, they'll probably go a little more defensive minded.
Yeah,
and say, you know what? Hey, let's get back to what worked for us. We had a serviceable quarterback, but we won because of our defense. And you know, and then you look at this past Super Bowl. I mean, maybe if the Super Bowl was, you know, 50s, in, you know, the scoring was in the 50s, maybe then you start saying, you know, we got to go more offensive minded. But we just saw in the Super Bowl, defense still wins championships. Defense still wins games.
Yeah, and if you're Denver's got this window still, that young Bradley Chubb and Von Miller, they still got a window of playing really good defense.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, like, they weren't great last year. The Broncos weren't the same defense, obviously, that won the championship. They weren't great, but there's a lot of factors involved in that. There were some injuries and they were, you know, they had obviously lost a couple of really good players who have moved on to other things. But offensively, their offensive line wasn't very good. Their running backs were pretty impressive, but quarterback play wasn't that great. So they've got a lot of things they have to fix, but quarterback is one of them. And we were talking about this yesterday with Belichick. Okay, Brady, let's say in 2 or 3 years announces his retirement, but Belichick isn't going anywhere. Even if Belichick gets a decent quarterback, a good quarterback, someone you would classify not great or legendary, but good in this league, he is still capable of pulling off a Super Bowl championship level team. But Denver doesn't, they need a good quarterback because everything else around them isn't very good. And he can help, a good quarterback can help kind of mask some of the sins of what's going on. Like Mike Munchak has some work to do on their offensive line. Defensively, they're good, but they could use, you know, they could use some upgrades at certain positions. But the quarterback position is going to hold them back if they want to try to get back into winning. Now, if you're Jacksonville, you know what the problem is. The problem isn't running the ball. The problem isn't defensively. The problem is quarterback play. You can't score enough points. Blake Bortles is not the quarterback anymore in Jacksonville. But if the strategy for Jacksonville is, all right, you know what? Let's see if Eli Manning's available in a talk with the Giants. Let's see if we can pull that off. Let's get him down here for a couple of years. But I don't want to bring in a Nick Foles yet. I don't want to bring in a quarterback that I want to grow one again. I want to have one for the next 10 to 15 years. There's a couple of guys in the next 2 or 3 years that we may like in the draft. But also, remember, Jacksonville gave its fans a taste at an AFC title. Like they were in the fourth quarter with the lead against the Patriots and en route to a Super Bowl. And it wasn't until Brady did his normal Brady thing that Jacksonville didn't go to the Super Bowl. And they did it really despite Bortles. If Bortles wasn't fantastic, he was just serviceable and good enough. If you put in a Nick Foles in there where the quarterback position is solid, then I wonder if there's a resurgence in the Jaguars in a division where it's going to be tough with the Texans as good as they are. Andrew Luck now is an offensive line and a pretty decent team around him. Tennessee should be getting better. If you're Jacksonville, quarterback is the answer. You've got to find a quarterback. The Eagles are setting this league up for conversation now because when they franchise him and they talk about trades, they're not going to ship him to the Giants. They're not going to ship him to the Redskins if they want to move on from Alex Smith. They're going to get him out of the division. They might even want to get him out of the conference. And if they do that, Jacksonville and I think Denver are the phone calls that you have to make. Now, there are some situations. Maybe in, what about Miami? Are they looking for a new quarterback with Ryan Tannehill? I keep hearing different reports about that.
That's a real possibility too.
That's a possibility as well.
And that's actually a safe move.
No, for the Eagles, because
hey, you know what? One thing the Eagle fan all could probably get on board with is that they hate New England. Hey, if we ship our quarterback to a division rival to New England, then, you know, we're looking good.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, especially. Yeah, exactly. So do you think, like yesterday when I was talking about, do you think Bill Belichick could have a Super Bowl team with a good quarterback? Not a Brady-esque quarterback, just a good quarterback.
A Super Bowl team, I think he could. Super Bowl winning, that's different.
That is different. It does allow another different kind of conversation. Like yeah. Let's say Belichick doesn't have Brady anymore, Brady retires, and they have a quarterback that is good, right? Is not terrible, is not a detriment to the team. He's good. He's not great, but he's good. He's good enough. They're winning games. And they're doing it defensively. They run the ball well. Offensively, they're calling the right plays. They're executing the right plays. Everybody's doing their job, right? And, you know, they're kind of moving along. The conversation about the Patriots would not be, well, they have Brady, right? Because they wouldn't have Brady. That's always seems to be where we go with the Patriots, right? Because so many times the Patriots will play a team that just on paper, they don't match up. But then you throw in the Brady factor and it tilts the scale in their direction. You say, well, I can't bet against Brady. Why? Because when the game's on the line, nobody's better. When the game is close, nobody's better. That quarterback whoever he is, that's good, not legendary, but good, he's not going to allow you to tip the scale in the Patriots' favor. Doesn't mean the Patriots won't win, but it means that the scale won't automatically tip with the Brady added weight, right? Well, I like the Chargers. I like the Chiefs. I like the Rams. On paper, and then you throw in Brady and like, boom, and then the scale goes bam to the floor because that's what Brady brings. But you're right. I think there's a capability of a Patriot team that is defensive-oriented, like the first time they won the Super Bowl, being a threat. But again, winning Super Bowls, well, that's a different story.
Again, they don't have any competition in their division. So they'll make the playoffs. And we keep saying it over and over again. You know, they win out their division most likely with a record good enough to give them a first-round bye. And then it's fair game. Yeah. Then they're just one game away from the AFC Championship. And then it's just all matchups. And Belichick is a much better chess player than any coach in the league.
By the way, AFC teams start playing better at the end of the season when you have a chance to get a home field. It really does work. Don't think the schemes week 16 and 17 should be thrown away. Seriously, it works.
is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Last night, historic, if you follow the career of LeBron James, worst loss in his career when the Lakers fell to the Indiana Pacers 136-94. That is, by the way, if you do the math, that is 42 points. 42 points the Lakers lost to the Pacers. How does that happen? God.
And let's also bring up the fact, too, it's a Pacers team without their best player.
Right. Victor Oladipo is out. So LeBron's previous, he lost by 35 to the Warriors in 2017, 35 to the Pistons in 2007. So here were two 35-point losses in his career that were 10 years apart, okay? And then on Tuesday, he loses by 42 to Indiana, right? He can't get Anthony Davis fast enough. Do you think LeBron's just going, I don't care. You know what? This is not the year for me anyway. This wasn't the year for this team anyway. It's a slow build, but when it does, you watch out. It's going to be great. Or do you think he's seething over losing by 42? He doesn't seem to be seething much anymore.
I don't know if he's seething. I mean, it's a lot of that SoCal fresh air, you know, does relax you on certain things.
Yeah,
you do become,
exactly.
You know, I guess just don't care. Yeah, you chill out. It's like, oh, whatever.
Oh, well.
But
it's a loss.
No, but this definitely has to sting a little bit. This definitely has to weigh in the back of his mind.
Yeah.
And, you know, the truth is, he's surrounded by a lot of young kids who are talented and a bunch of has-beens.
That's right. He doesn't have the team around him. But still, listen, a LeBron James team shouldn't lose by 42 points to anybody, especially, Indiana's good.
I'll give the Warriors. Give the Warriors just because the Warriors are such a juggernaut that they could win by 50 on any given night if they choose to.
I agree.
When you have five players who have all been all-stars or could be all on the all-star team at one time, then, you know, yeah, I'll allow certain things. But a Pacers team missing their best player? No.
No, not at all. Not at all. It's weird, though. It's weird to have LeBron going kind of going through that. Right? I mean,
it's just not just LeBron. I mean, LeBron didn't have a great night last night. I think he only had 18 points and, you know, a couple rebounds here and there, a couple assists. But it's almost like the will of the team, the young part of the team, with all the trade talks and the fact that, you know, the trade rumor that keeps popping up is every young talented player on that team is going to get traded.
Oh, I know. That
has to weigh heavily in your mind.
How do you get through that when you know, I don't know where Thursday is going to be, right? The Lakers are making these offers and they're kind of getting out and getting out in the public. Here's the list of guys who are willing to trade, and the Pelicans are going, no, that's underwhelming. But if you're a player, that's what you're hearing. That's what you're not only hearing that in the media, your agent is telling you that. Right, right. I mean,
agents coming to you go, what? How do you feel about New Orleans? Let's talk about this.
Yeah, right. God, what amazing. We'll see Thursday. I still think the Pelicans. I wonder what the Pelicans are thinking because they want to. They're going to want to get the huge haul that they can get for Anthony Davis. But I wonder how many teams are going to be saying, "Yeah, here's the big haul." That we're here's what you're looking for. There is a level of greediness that happens in these trades where you have this unbelievable superstar player, and if you're the Lakers, you want to try to get him for as little as possible. Of course, that's the negotiation ploy. But if you're the Pelicans, you don't want to eliminate teams in the conversation and have to come crawling back, going, okay, all right, we're not going to take. You know, we're not going to take this guy or this guy or this guy, however it's going to work. The Lakers apparently made the final offer for Anthony Davis, whatever that is. But when Thursday comes around, what's the likelihood that he doesn't go anywhere? That the Pelicans go, no, it's underwhelming. We'll wait and see. We'll wait and see later.
No, I think, it's definitely, I would be shocked at this point after seeing what the Lakers have offered up. And the Lakers offered up, I think, way too much. And then it looked like, I mean, I'm glad Magic Johnson kind of took a step back and go, okay, wait a second. We're going to stop outbidding ourselves. because that's all they were doing. All we heard about, here's what the Lakers are offering. And then the Lakers countered with another offer that was, you know, bigger and better. I'm happy to see that it's like, all right, you know what? Hey, we're going to stop making these offers. We're going to pull our offer. Penguins, you tell us what you want. Yeah, and I do have an unconfirmed source of what the Pelicans do want.
What do the Pelicans want?
Again, take this for what you will. I don't know if this is true or not, but...
Oh, we're just talking here amongst friends.
Yeah, you know, but I found this on Twitter that the Pelicans' reported trade demands to the Lakers were 9 first-round picks. Lonzo Ball, Kyle Kuzma, Brandon Ingram. They do want superfan Jack Nicholson.
All right, that's got to come in the deal, right?
Right.
I mean, that's because Smoothie King Arena is a nice place to watch a game. He'll enjoy the courtside seats.
I think
there.
He will. I mean, he would do well on Bourbon Street. Let's be honest. He would have a good time. The Shaq statue, which, I don't know.
He never really played for New Orleans, but still, it doesn't really matter. Just change it up a little bit.
It's a unique statue because it's not on the ground. It's up in the air. It's attached to the side of the building.
That's right.
And then finally, Kobe Bryant to come out of retirement and play for New Orleans.
That's going to be tough, but I think it's possible.
I think so. I mean, he looks like he's in shape. I know there was like some fat shaming video maybe last year or earlier this year where, you know, showed him to have a little bit of a gut. And, you know, come on. He's an athlete. When we all stop playing the sports that we love, you know, we do get a gut. For some guys like me, it happened a lot sooner in my playing career.
This is anytime the Lakers are involved in something like this, I'm always reminded that if you're the Clippers, there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do in that city. Like, it doesn't matter what's going on with the Lakers. They beat you in the paper. They'll beat you in the news. They beat you in the fans' heart. You're the Clippers. You could be winning. You could be having a great year. You could be doing good things. You could be making your own deals. You could be bettering your roster. You could have a fun, eccentric owner that's trying to make the game fun for fans. But it's irrelevant. Absolutely irrelevant. The Lakers are king. The Lakers' dysfunctionality right now is better news than any Clipper achievement whatsoever. Like Luke Walton. Do we feel bad for Luke Walton, or this is kind of what he signed up for?
Well, I'm feeling bad for Luke Walton now because when he signed up for it, it was LeVar Ball.
Pre-LeVar Ball and pre-LeBron James.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's been having to deal with the LeVar Ball headache. And as soon as LeBron James signed in, you know he was sitting there like, oh, man, it's only a matter of time before he gets me fired.
Oh, no kidding, right?
Because LeBron will bring in his guy eventually.
Just ask David Blatt.
Yeah, right? And what I think is happening is, you know, LeBron is sitting there going, you know what, hey, I'll let you finish out this season. And then during the offseason, we'll see what you do this year. Then during the offseason, I'll bring in my guy.
Yeah, right, LeBron. I love LeBron. LeBron is so cool because he's so slick, right? He always pretends like he has nothing to do with anything, and then he does. He has everything to do with everything. That's what makes LeBron great.
Last night, LeBron was asked about all the trades, rumors that are circulating. Here's what he had to say.
I kind of tend not to play much fantasy basketball. You know, that's just how I've always been. If something were to occur with our team, no matter if it's him or if it's somebody else throughout the trade deadline, we will approach it then. But right now, you know, this is the group that we have, and we're missing a key point of our team right now with Zobie and
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, he's not concerned about trade, but
no,
I do like the
really.
Fact that
sure.
But I did you catch that when you know when it does come to that we will.
Yeah.
Figure it out.
Oh yeah, no, he does that every now. He did this in Cleveland too, where he kind of throws that those little sly like hints or just maybe you pick it up. It's obvious, right? That's kind of I have to admit the one thing that I like about LeBron is that he's learned to be like GM savvy in his conversations, right? Where like other players just kind of go, they just kind of vomit on themselves in these circumstances and they spill too much information or they don't say anything. LeBron at least knows the game. Like he knows how to play it. So he knows how to talk in certain ways that kind of let you know he knows what's going on, but he also does that player like it's fantasy basketball. I don't really know what's going on. I mean, it's just, you know, but also, just also knowing I'm not dumb. I know what's happening here, and we're doing. But here's the thing: when the Lakers brought in LeBron, like like, you're a Laker fan, right?
Yep.
Like, okay, so when the Lakers brought in LeBron, you knew that part of the deal for LeBron was the eventual a creation of a championship team, not an immediate thing. It's an eventual, like, let LeBron do his work, right? Let LeBron work with Rob Zinkus and Magic Johnson and do his work.
Well, I mean, the whole idea, the entire time, when LeBron came, immediately turned to, hey, when are they going to get Kawhi Leonard?
Right, exactly.
Immediately.
Right? Immediately.
And then it's like, all right, well, you know, Kawhi just got traded. He's got to, you know, let him play out this year. And I'm certain that, you know, 6 months from now, we're going to be sitting there talking about, hey, look, you know, Kawhi Leonard's a Laker. And maybe it's just as quiet as when LeBron came a Laker. I don't know. And then if they can, in the meantime, if they can make a play by trading away half the team and all their, you know, and their future for Anthony Davis to win right now, you're shaping up to create having a super team where you have LeBron, Anthony Davis, and Kawhi Leonard. I mean, get out of town. That team actually can compete with the Warriors.
Exactly.
It might actually be better than the Warriors.
It's funny that you mentioned that because that was the Kawhi Leonard bit, right? When he got traded to Toronto, he was so disappointed, right? He wanted to go to the Lakers. And Anthony Davis now kind of going, I want to be traded, right? It's like, I can't get to Los Angeles fast enough. I can't get connected fast enough. And you know these guys have conversations. You know these guys talk. You know there's all these off-season calls and talks. And like, yeah, let's plan this. And they don't want to admit that, but that's exactly what goes down. And I'm sure that this was all put in place because Anthony Davis, LeBron James have the same agent. You know, mm-hmm. Kawhi made no qualms about wanting. He wanted desperately to go to LA.
Yep.
Right? I mean, they all do. They know that LeBron, like, teaming up with LeBron is the best path to win a title, is the best path to create a team. If you're going to compete with Golden State, if you're going to compete with whoever wants to start building a team together, then that's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to pair it up. You're going to have to line it up. Like I said yesterday, the Pelicans have never been able to put a team around Anthony Davis. Now it looks like they'll never be able to put a team together because if you can't do it with Anthony Davis, who are you going to do it with? And Davis knows better. He's like, I got to go someplace where we're putting together a group, put together a team.
Yeah, I want to win.
I want to win. That's right. So I don't need to be below 500. I'm Anthony Davis, for crying out loud. Why am I not in the postseason regularly? Why am I with an organization where we win 4 and lose 6, and then we win 3 and then lose 5? Why is that happening? Why am I scoring 40 points a night, you know, and I can't get any help, like, or I can't get wins? Why are we losing? I mean, even when I score 35 and Drew Holiday scores 30, we still find ourselves in the losing end some nights. It's nuts.
And I can totally see a scenario, too. That, you know, say LeBron is able to pull off LeBronian things, where he trades away all the young players. I mean, it's a shell of a team for the rest of the season. And Lakers, I mean, obviously, you know, if that happens, Lakers aren't making the playoffs. But say the Lakers do acquire Anthony Davis during the offseason, they get Kawhi Leonard. Totally easily see LeBron talking Dwayne Wade into not retiring and just, you know, signing for the league minimum to play for the Lakers.
That'd be kind of cool.
Because all you really need, you don't need Dwayne at that point. You don't need Dwayne Wade to be, you know, Dwayne Wade of old.
You come off the bench.
Just need him. No, you just need him. Need someone to carry the ball up.
Yeah, that's true. Have him come off the bench. He's a start. So.
Well, he doesn't have to do anything. He just stands at midcourt and just walks around.
Here's a go. There you go.
Put a walker out there.
Hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's, not one, two N's. On SB Nation AM as we roll along on a Wednesday morning.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Did you see any scenes from the championship parade yesterday, the duck boat celebration? Because I only saw a few highlights, but I wasn't going to indulge myself in watching any of the Patriot celebrations again.
I mean, honestly, I think I might have saw a repeat footage. I don't know. It's hard to tell these days. You know, could have been last year. Could have been a year before that. They could have thrown the Red Sox in there. I wouldn't know. No, I saw two pieces of video that, to me, summarized this parade. And that was Gronk getting all up in his girlfriend.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, his girlfriend's a swimsuit model, right?
No, she's a very attractive young woman.
Yeah, of course.
But, you know, I mean, I don't know if Gronk being a human bra on top of a duck boat is the right approach.
Did Brady have that, aw, shucks, I can't believe we're here thing that he usually does at these
Man,
things?
Man, what a whirlwind that guy has had, right?
I mean, he
played in the Super Bowl. Then on Monday, he was at Disney World with Edelman. No family, just the two of them Disney Worlding it up at, you know, themselves.
By the way, Disney doesn't mess around with this, do they? I mean, they're like, you don't even get a chance to just settle into the Super Bowl. I won a Super Bowl. Let me just relax a little bit. Disney's like, hey, yeah, since we're paying you, like, get on this plane and get down to our theme park right now.
Not only that, but
you're going to be in a parade. You're going to be doing some stuff. Get down there.
I wanted to bring this up on Monday, but I completely forgot that, you know, the post game, when they had the camera down on Tom Brady for the long time and they kept the mic on.
Right.
Which I thought was very brave of CBS to do, just keep that mic on. Because
That was great stuff. That was great television.
But I was so nervous because, like, God, you know, these guys just won a championship. Watch out. But I heard Disney, there's a Disney rep saying, Edelman, Edelman, get over here. We got, you know, you're going to do the Disney commercial. As if they already knew that he was going to be named MVP.
Like, Edelman, they had the Disney World sign, right?
They were ready
I
to go.
That. Yeah, that was funny. What if you say no? What if you're like, I don't want to go. Like, thanks, but...
I'm more of a Six Flags guy.
Yeah, I don't want to go. Thanks for everything. Appreciate it. SB Nation Radio.